Number 19, report and possible discussion on drought update. Brad Brunette.
Good afternoon. As Phil said, I did go to Florida last week. I was looking for water. I just happened to take my family with me. And I found some yesterday. We were driving home, and we were coming across the Mississippi River in Vicksburg. And I've never been across the Mississippi River, but about 2 o'clock yesterday, we drove across there. And you know, if you've never seen it, which I had never seen it, it was pretty impressive. So today I got back in the office this morning, and I looked to see how much water was flowing there. I know they've had the flooding here over the last month or two, but yesterday there was as much water flowed under that bridge as we have in storage in all of our reservoirs today. It was amazing. And the flow there was around 700,000 cubic feet per second. So anyway, there's water. It's about 400 miles east of here. This slide is one that I used from the customer meetings a couple of years ago, or I guess just last year in 2010. And at that time, we were looking at the rainfall from October of 2009 through June of 2010. And we were in pretty good shape there. You can see the scale over here on the right-hand side, the legend with the red colors being rainfall shortages and the blues and greens being areas where we were ahead of normal. And so, as I mentioned earlier, what we've got facing us now is really something that's very extreme and is relatively short-lived. We were in pretty good shape just a little over a year ago. If you go to the next slide, you get slapped in the face with the reality of where we are now. And this slide here goes from October of 2010, the fall of last year, through July 20th of last week. And you can see that most of the state, or all the states, way behind.
Stop back, Carolyn. You stop back.
All of the states way behind normal, and the Brazos Basin is anywhere from 12 to 25 inches behind normal almost throughout the entire basin from the Gulf out west. And those areas out to the west where they're not as far behind normal as they are at the Gulf, they're just in as bad a shape or worse because normal out there is half of what it is at the Gulf. And so it's really, really dry all over the state, and our basin's no different than the rest of the state. Next slide. Again, this is a map that shows the U.S. Drought Monitor, and I'm sure many of you have heard or seen news articles on this recently that over, I think, 80% of the state now is in exceptional or extreme drought. I think over 80% of our basin is in exceptional drought. You can see on the scale down there, it doesn't show exceptional. It's cut off on the bottom, it looks like, but the dark brown is the worst scale on their monitor. And just for perspective, back in 2009, I think it was about 20% of the state that was in that exceptional category, and it was South Central Texas. So shows how far-reaching the drought is throughout the state. And you can see our reservoirs there. I'm going to talk more about those in a little bit, but you can see the percent capacities that they're currently at as of July the 19th there. Next slide. This is a seasonal outlook that the Weather Service puts out once every month, and it's a three-month outlook, and I think this one was issued it looks like on July the 7th, and it's valid for the period from July the 7th through September the 30th. And you can see that in Texas there, most of the whole central part of the state, are they're expecting the drought conditions to get worse or intensify for the next couple of months without much relief in sight. There is a little bit along the coast, maybe some relief there over the next couple of months, but there's nothing on the immediate horizon that's going to end this. Next slide. This shows where our reservoirs stand as of July the 20th, and you can see the white space at the top of the bars represents the space in the reservoirs that's currently empty, and the blue represents the space that's full. And you can see on the table up there to the right what the percentage full each of the reservoirs is. And then in yellow, that's the decrease over the last week, I believe, or the last 2 weeks, the negative numbers where you see negative 1%, negative 2%. That's how fast the percentages are dropping. And then the far right of the table is the drawdown below full. So you can see, I guess, Lake Georgetown is the lowest of them all at about 16 feet below normal. Lake Whitney is a little over 13 feet. And several of the other ones are approaching double digits there. Also, you'll note the drought watch and drought warning indicators here at the bottom. We currently have three of our reservoirs that are in stage one drought, Georgetown and Stillhouse Hollow. Those two reservoirs are operated as a system, and so they're in stage one drought. Lake Limestone's in a stage one drought situation. Proctor is in a stage two drought warning, and Somerville, just within the past couple of days, went to stage two, so we'll be declaring that here probably this week, so it'll be going from stage one to stage two. Overall, though, we're 77% full. I think at the end of 2009, when we reached the worst point in the drought, that's where we were. Unfortunately, I think we've got another couple of months to go before we see any real improvement, unless we get a tropical system or something from the Gulf. So we're likely to see that 77% drop further down into the 60s over the next couple of months. And I think the next slide is a projection that we've put together looking at where we might be on September the 30th. So we're looking out here about 2 months, assuming the drought does continue and our water demands from our lower basin customers that we're releasing water for remain about the same, as well as our lakeside customers. It's the same information as was on the previous graph. You can see 62% full is where we're expecting we'll be, somewhere in that ballpark. And I believe all of the reservoirs under this scenario would be under a stage one or stage two drought condition, and the entire system as a whole would be under a stage one drought watch.
There's something we need to understand. Those drought watches, that's kind of like saying don't speed. It doesn't mean anything unless the person that you say don't speed adheres to it. I'm going to give Brad a no notice here, but can you talk about the consumption rate that's been happening as we see, as we get into not these stages, but as the temperature and everything's risen?
Yeah, a lot of places are experiencing record levels of water use with the, without any moisture out there, people watering their lawns. The consumption rate, I've got a graph on here in a slide or two that shows that most of the lakeside use is up anywhere from 30 to 40% ahead of where it was at this time in 2009. And I believe one of our customers, I was at a meeting here not long ago, and they're having a situation where they've gone to stage three of their drought plan and water use actually increased. So it's a situation where I guess if your rules as a retailer aren't set up right and you give people one day to water, they're going to water all day long, and it ends up kind of counteracting the whole purpose of having the drought plan. So we are seeing some very high use levels. Go to the next one. This slide here just shows you our total annual water use from the system over the last several years, and you can see how the water use does vary from wet to dry years. 2007, in the left-hand column there at the bottom, our total was a little over 180,000 acre-feet that year. 2009 was the highest water use that we've ever had, and it was a little over 300,000 acre-feet. And I'm expecting us to be between 400,000 and 500,000 acre-feet this year if we don't get any relief before the end of the year. So our 2009 record was pretty short-lived, and I think we're going to break it by quite a long shot. Go ahead and go to the next one. Here's the slide that I was mentioning that shows the lakeside customer water use. This is as of July the 1st, the water use reports that we have in. The red bars there are the 2011 use for January through July, and the blue bars are what we saw last year in 2010. And they're in no particular order other than just the highest use is on the left down to the lower use reservoirs on the right. And you can see for Belton and Granbury, Georgetown, Stillhouse, most all of them are anywhere from 20 to 40% above what they were in 2010. This one here shows how much water we've released from the system for our downstream water customers and for meeting our environmental flow requirements that we have for several of the reservoirs. We've actually updated. That shows July the 8th. I think we've updated it here through about July the 20th, and the total is now about 177,000 acre-feet. And I believe, again, for perspective, in 2009, we were somewhere around 75,000 acre-feet. So we're already double what we released in 2009. And we've been releasing water, I think, since the mid part of April, continuously through the summer. And until it rains, unfortunately, we'll continue to do that. I believe we talked a little bit earlier about the water master and water rights, and many of you may have heard or read about the senior call letters that were issued, particularly in the Brazos Basin first, but I think they've since spread to other areas of the state. There were two calls in the Brazos, one back in May, and then it was updated on June the 27th, and it only applies to the portion of the basin downstream of the reservoirs. And basically, it doesn't affect our operations in so much as our customers can continue to divert water and we can continue to release water, but other entities that have water rights that take water from the river, if their priority date or the date of their first use of water, which is called priority date a lot of times, is later than 1960, and they're not using the water for municipal or steam electric purposes, they've been asked to cease diversions by the TCEQ. And that could be extended further back to a 1940 or 1930 priority date if we go forward and things don't get better. I don't know how much success TCEQ has seen since they've issued these calls, and as Phil mentioned, we have a meeting with them on Friday to talk about the drought situation, so it'll be interesting to see if they think that they've done any good there. Again, it doesn't affect our contracts or our water contract holders and our customers, in that all the water that we have stored in the reservoirs was essentially stored back when there was plenty of water to go around. And so senior water right holder can't ask for water that was captured 6 months ago or 8 months ago when there was plenty to go around. All that they can ask for is water that's currently in the river that they're in line ahead of someone else for. Next slide. This, looking at how much water we have available for contracting, we've been for some time now with no long-term water available. Our interruptible water, John Haas spoke a little bit about earlier. Those are contracts that we issue from 1 to 5 years. We sold all of that back in, I believe, April, 117,000 acre feet, and we've never sold anywhere close to all of it. I believe in 2009 we sold 60,000 acre feet or so. And we've used a significant amount of that to this point in the summer already as well. We mentioned the 2,500-acre-foot emergency reserve. I think I stated earlier that was down to about 378-acre-feet. And that's just kind of an emergency water storage place that we have set aside for times such as this. And we've been providing that water mostly to small irrigators and ag users who've been affected by the TCEQ senior calls, that have their own water rights and their own irrigation systems, but they got the letters from TCEQ that said that they've got to stop diverting. And so they call us to see if we have any water to sell. And so that's where most of that water's been going. We started selling the first part of that April or May, and like I said, I think we're down to about 387 acre feet left. And most of the time, those customers buy it in chunks of 50 to 100 acre feet. There are some that have bought a little bit larger, but for the most part, it's small agricultural type users. And lastly, on the slide there, you see we've been facilitating some third party water sales. For instance, if we have some water customers that have a lot more water under contract than what they currently use, and they're not using that water, then we've been putting them in contact with other customers who may need to buy more. And we've been approving the temporary resale of that water from, you know, willing sellers to willing buyers, or in situations where that's the case and where both parties have wanted to do so and where the contract's allowed.
How do we handle those facilitated third-party sales? We just temporarily reduce the amount of one party's water available and then make it available to somebody else. It's not moved from their use, their supply, to someone else's supply, is it?
In some situations, we could have a customer that has water that typically takes water directly from the lake, and a customer that's downstream that needs that water. And so in that situation, it would be taken at a different location. But what happens is we require them to come to terms on their own agreement on, you know, what they're going to pay or you know, whatever the terms are. But then we have to go through an amendment process with our customer that basically our contracts require us to give them written authorization to do that. And so we have an amendment form that we've been using. It's a 1 or 2 page form that basically gives them the ability to do it and assigns the new diversion location if there is one.
My question had more to do with the movement of the water.
Okay.
If they're
downstream, we can flow it downstream, but if they're upstream, in some situations, you just, you know, if it's physically not possible, then we can't, you know, we don't allow it, obviously. It's going to rain again someday. I had somebody tell me the other day, though, that this I could put up that we're also one day closer to the next drought, but we'll deal with that later on. I think that's all that I have here in these slides. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you've got on the drought or
any questions for Brad?